The following shiur has been presented by Rav David Grossman, Reish Beis Havad Binyani Mishpat, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For more information about the center, or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD, or visit thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph says a statement that many Rishonim tried to explain in various ways. The Gemara says, "Ein shomin leleganef v'lelegazlin, avos shomin lemazik." We're not shom. We did not evaluate the damages for a ganef or a gazlin, but we do evaluate for a mazik. Tosfos in Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, amongst other Rishonim, explain that this statement really goes, is referring to the previous Gemara, where the Gemara says that Pchas Nevela Lenizik, the amount, the depreciation of the Nevela goes to the Nizik, and which means as follows. If, say, Reuven's Shor gores Shimon's Shor and kills it, and the Shor was originally valued at $1,000, and now that it's dead, it's valued at $200, because it can be sold as an avela, as trefa meat to a goy. And if, with time, this avela starts depreciating in value before Hamad Bedin, before there's a chance to make it in Torah, that difference in value is suffered by the nizik, by the owner of the animal. And we don't say that that's a hemshech, that that's a continuation of the Maisa Hezek. But rather we say the Maisa Hezek ended, and from now on any depreciation that this animal should suffer will be realized by the Nizik, by the owner, and the Mazik, the person who damaged, does not have to compensate him for the additional depreciation. On the other hand, if somebody were to steal, let's say, the same animal at $1,000, and as it was walking through the city with the stolen animal, a oines, a total act of nature, the lightning would strike this animal and kill it, and the animal would be worth the same $200, and it would take the same amount of time to get to Bezdin, and in the meantime, that nevela, the carcass, would depreciate and it would now be valued at $100. In the case of a gazlin or a ganav, ein shaman. We don't evaluate the animal at the time of the hezek, at the time of that the lightning struck. But rather, the ganav and the gazlin would be responsible to compensate the owner for any depreciation that happens until Hamad Bedin, until the Din Torah. And the reason for this is simple. And it really delves into the crux of the difference between a ganav and a mazik. In Chesha Mishpat, we know when we're trying to deal with Chesha Mishpat in Yonim, you know, half the battle is the diagnostics, is trying to diagnose and to pin the right term and the right category to the circumstance. And to properly understand what's the difference between a ganav and a mazik, we have to analyze what makes a person what makes a person a thief and what makes him just a damager. Now, the difference between a thief and a mazik and some of your damages in relation to what we're talking about now is the person koine the actual animal with kinyonic zela, which means as follows. If Reuven owns an animal, it belongs to him entirely. If Shimon goes ahead and steals that animal, although the animal still belongs to Reuven, but Shimon acquires this animal in what's called in yeshivish terms, kinyonik zela, which means for certain aspects of ownership, the gazlin, the thief, has certain ownership aspects in this animal. Namely, the most important one is that he's chayiv in oinsin. He's chayiv in he's chayiv to pay for anything that should happen, even if it's not of his pshia, it's by no fault of his own, still he must compensate the owner for this depreciation. Normally, when lightning strikes an animal, who suffers the loss? The owner. But here, the Rashi and the Rishonim and the Gemara, many places say, use the term ukma toyer birshusai le'inyan einsin. The Torah put this animal in his rishus, in the thief's rishus, in the ganav's possession, in regards to einsim, that he becomes the owner in regards to einsim. That if lightning should strike and damage, he's the owner, namely, he suffers the loss, and therefore he must pay the entire loss to the owner. Now, since this is true, since he is the owner in regards to loss, and especially when a shinoi happens, which we'll learn about later on in the Masechta, in the case of lightning striking and the behemoth dying, now it's an entirely different behemoth. It used to be a living behemoth, now it's a dead carcass, it's an animal, it's entirely different. It's an entirely different animal. So in this case, the thief owns this animal entirely, and it's his, and he owns it, and he can give it to somebody else. He can be Mekadosh and Isha with it. I'm not saying it's the most romantic way to be Mekadosh, to marry a woman, but if you were to give this woman the dead carcass and say, Harei Mekadoshes li behem azul, Kedas Moshe b'Yisrael, it would be chal, because the thief owns this carcass entirely. How is that? Because he was koine with shinui. He was koine, he acquired it by way of shinui. When the behemoth became this different new behemoth, the thief has no obligation to return the actual behemoth back to the owner, but rather he has to pay the value, the cash value of the behemoth at the time of the theft. Kolzman, that the behemoth is alive, while the behemoth is still in its original state, the owner can demand, you give me back that animal. Even if it went up in value, it's worth more than the time of the theft. He can say, that's my animal, I want it. But as soon as the behemoth changes and incurs a shinui, he must give back cash, and he's allowed to keep the animal. And therefore, it follows very simply that should the animal depreciate more, he still has to pay the cash value at the time of the theft. So who's going to suffer the new depreciation of the carcass, that it went down from $200 and now it's only worth $100? The thief. A mazik, on the other hand, does not acquire that animal. That animal, the carcass, even in its new state, still belongs to the original owner. And therefore, if it's to go down in value, the mazik does not have to pay the difference between the amount it was worth at the time of the hezek and the amount that it's worth for Shah Samad Bidin, and he can just pay the actual damage that he was the cause of and that his assets caused. Now, what makes a person into a ganav? The difference between a ganav and a gazlan is merely, did he pick up this item with the intention of furthering it or its use from its owner, or did he not pick it up with intention to further it? The Nesivus and Siman Reish Tzadik Beis says a very big chiddush. He says that we see from Gemara later on in Daf Tzadik Tesam and Aleph, that it says, the Gemara says that if a person throws a matbea, throws a coin into a pool or into a lake, as long as the coin is visible, he did not damage that coin at all. And he can say, Areishul Cholofolech, he can tell the owner that coin at the bottom of the lake is yours, I did not damage it, it's still intact, go get it. I don't have to pay for it, because even though you have to hire a diver, that's merely a groma ba'alma. The fact that you have to hire somebody to pick it, to get it out of the lake is a groma. But says the Gemara, should the person pick up this item with the intent to throw it into the Yam, then he becomes a ganav. Then he stole the item, even though his intention was not to take this item home and to use this coin, but rather his intention was entirely to damage the coin, namely to throw it into the Yam HaGadol, into this lake. But since he lifted it up with the intent to damage, even though all he did was damage, he did not steal. But since he lifted it up, he becomes a ganav, and he acquires this item, and therefore he's chayiv and it's oinsim, and he would not be able to say anymore, Tareishol chalofanecho. Now it's very important to try to differentiate exactly when a person's a ganav and when a person is a mazik. And I'd like to relate a story that came to the Beis Din. It's actually a very sad story. There was a fellow who went to apply for a mortgage on his home. He applied for an equity line on his home. When he came to the bank informed him, sir, you know, they wanted to arrest him. They were, you know, for fraud. He didn't understand what was happening until he figured out the bank informed him that there is already an outstanding existing equity line on the home. And after much investigation, he realized that a friend of his, or I don't know if he was such a friend, but an associate of his had taken out an equity line on his home. This person took out an equity line against his friend's home. His friend didn't know anything about it. He was a victim of identity theft. And the first thing that comes to mind is, this guy's a ganav, the thief. He stole money from his friend, from his fellow Jew. Now what happened was, this person approached his friend and he said, how are you talking? How can you do such a thing? So his friend turned to him and said, you know, I apologize, I'm sorry, he gave some lame excuse. And then his friend said, you know, I have a really good in business investment. I was really counting on the equity of my home. I have $100,000 that I could take out of my home and I would like to invest it in a very profitable endeavor, which is Bari, I'm 100% sure, and everybody who, any business professional encouraged him to do this. This is a 100% win-win situation. There's no way that this can go under. And I'd like the money back. If I don't have it back within a week, I'll lose the investment. So his good friend turned to him and said, you know, I really feel bad for you, but the money that I took out of your home, even though I understand that what I did was not a very nice thing, but right now it's heavily invested and I really can't break up the investment. I'm not willing to break it up, and I'm sorry, I feel bad, I apologize. As soon as the investment profits what I'm anticipating, I'll be glad to give you back your $100,000. So his friend turns to him and says, you know, I'm gonna summons you to Beis Din. And, you know, back and forth, and he says, you know, you're about to take my money that you took without permission, and you're invested, and you want to realize the profits on this money. I have an investment that I'm going to make money on, and if you don't give me back the $100,000 within the week, I'm going to sue you in Beis Din for the profits that you're going to make on my money. You took my money, you're using my money, and you're going to realize profits on my money. I have my own investment to make. And because you stripped me of my equity line, I cannot make my own investment. I will not be able to invest this money. And therefore, I'd like you to give me any gains that you're going to gain from here on in lieu of the gains that I would gain on my investment. So that was the case that Beis Din had to deal with. And what Beis Din was trying to figure out, that even though this person seems like a thief, and of course he would be possible Eidus L'Shvur, and if he was an Eid Kedushin, if he was a witness for anybody's marriage ceremony, I would definitely do the marriage again, because this person is a Rosh of the Chamas, and he would be a possible Eid. But to call him a Ganef would not be accurate. Because he didn't steal. He didn't steal from the Yid. What he did was, he took the Yid's ability to borrow money from the bank. But he did not take the money from the Yid. And what's the difference, La'alocha? The difference is, surprisingly enough, that if he would be considered a ganav, if he were to have been considered that he stole the money, then he would not have to give back the profits that he makes on this gezel to his friend. But if all he is a mazik. All he is damaging this his friend's ability to make an income of his own. So in that case, he would have to pay, according to some shitas or most opinions, he would have to pay any profits that he would make. He would have to give to his friend who he took the equity line from. And the reason is as follows. There's a special halacha by a ganef called takonas hashovim. Say a person steals his friend's car. He takes it from him for a month. He drives it around town. And after a month, he does tshuva and he gives it back intact. The victim, the person who, the owner of the car, turns to the thief and said, you know, you drove it for a month. I would like payment. It cost $900 to rent a car in Avis. And you'd use my car for a month. You stole. You're right, you returned the car. But you, in the meantime, you stole my car and you used my car. And I'd like payment. I'd like what you would have saved or the payment for what it would cost me to drive a car. The halacha is that there's a special takana called takana sashovim. A person who wants to repent, the chachamim and the Torah make it very easy for him. And they realize that should a person have to pay any or all pleasures that he got out of the stolen item, it would make him very hard for him to repent and to give back the money and to do tshuva. So the Chacham instituted that because of the special tikkunas hashavim, a thief does not have to give back any shvach or any peiris, any dividends or usage that he got out of the stolen item. If he gives back the actual item, that's enough. He doesn't have to pay for the usage of it. And therefore, if this thief in our case would have a din of a thief, if he would be considered a real thief, even though he's holding this money against his friend's will, and he's stealing the money every minute that he has the money, he's over averis and he has to do tshuva, and it's also litanes adin. But for the victim to charge the thief for the profits that he made on the thief's money would be unjustified, because there's a din of takanas hashavim. A ganef, all he has to do is give back the actual thing that he stole, but he does not have to give any pleasure, any anah, or anything that he got. Whatever he stole, he gives back, nothing more. And therefore, the thief can turn to his friend, the owner of the equity, and tell him, here's your $100,000 back, and I'm not even giving back to you for a month, for 2 months, and the friend can go to Beis Din, and he can try to play to try to dodge Beis Din for 6 months, and go to this Beis Din, and try to go to the other Beis Din. In the meantime, profit more and more, and not have to deliver any of the profits to his friend. However, since this person does not have a din of a thief, he did not steal from Reuven, his friend. What he did was he stole from the bank. He misrepresented to the bank that he is Reuven, and he told the bank, based on the fact that I have a perfect credit score, and I am Reuven, give me a $100,000 loan. And the bank used Reuven's house to secure the loan. But the thief did not steal anything from Reuven. He rather damaged Reuven's ability to take money out of his own home and to use it and to invest it and to make a profit. And that is what's called in halacha, mevatel kisoy shel chaveiroi. If a person, the halacha is, if a person has a booming business and comes along a fine individual and puts a huge padlock on the door of the business and takes them a full day of work to get that padlock off, and they lose a full day's profits, the halach is that's a mevatel kiss, you're doing away with the future profits of your friend, and you're putter because you're only a grumma. It's only potential gain, you haven't caused him any loss. And therefore, Mavadlo Kisa Shel Chaveiro is potter, and he wouldn't have to pay him because he didn't damage anything. He just made it harder for him and disabled him from obtaining a potential gain. However, says the Ramo and Simon Reish Tzadik Beis Siv Zion, and many Achroinim agree with the Ramo, although there are those that argue, says the Ramo, that should the damage of the mazik, himself gain from the fact that the victim's business was shut down, in that case, we would say mevatel kisa shel chaveiro is chayev. Anything that the damager gains from shutting down the business of the victim, that money he has to transfer over to the victim. And therefore, in our case, since the homeowner came to the thief and told him, I have a perfect investment that's a guaranteed gain, and if you don't give me the money within a week, I'll lose my opportunity for this gain. And the thief said, I'm sorry, I have my own gains, and I would like to keep the money where it is, and I'm gonna profit. Since this person does not have a halacha of a ganif, but rather he has a halacha of a mazik, of somebody who damages, and to a damager there is no takonas ashovim. The takonas ashovim is only said by a thief, by a ganif. Therefore, in this case, since he's looked at like a nizik, like a mazik, like a damager, he must give, according to the Rama, he must give any gains that he's gained to the homeowner in lieu of the potential gain that the homeowner was not able to realize due to the fact that his home equity and his ability to invest was thwarted by the ganav's actions. Of course, this halacha of a mevatel kisa shel chaveiro is going to be chayiv in the case where the mazik enjoys and gains from his maisa hezek. That this fact is a halacha, is a machloikis of achreinim. There are those that argue, and therefore it's very possible that al pi halacha in Bezdin, the homeowner would not be able to win the gains of the thief. It's very possible that they shemayim he would be, because even if it is a grama, it's possible that a grama ben izakin would be chayev latzeis de shemayim. But this is one of the clear differences between a gazlin and a mazik, and why it's so important that whenever we come across such a case, to try to analyze properly if this person has the din of a ganef, if he's a thief or he's merely a damager. And sometimes, most of the time, a ganef has a stronger din than a damager. Namely, he's chayev in stronger einsim than somebody who damages. A thief is chayev in any einis, even if it's the biggest einis that was not, that the strongest wind in the world, a thief would be chayev on. But a mazik is only if there's some type of negligence involved. He's chayev in einsim, but it's a lower level of einis. There are many halachas where a ganav's din is much stronger than the mazik's din, and this is one of the cases where the mazik's din would have stronger implications in halacha, and would have more chiyuvim than a ganav himself.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.